welcome to the Thursday evening Main Street Society prayer meeting transferred to Sunday morning. Every Thursday night we gather from 6:30 to 7 in the chapel. We pray about seven different ways. Now the fact is, most of our Methodist churches lost the prayer meeting 50 to 100 years ago, about the same time we began to decline. And the loss of the prayer meeting is a sign that we believe more in what we can do than what God can do through us. So the first part of today's service will be the Thursday night prayer meeting brought to you on Sunday mornings, so that when you find out we're not going to ask you to stand and pray by yourself, you might get over your fear and come join us for prayer. I invite you to take a moment and write down your top two prayer concerns, which will be used later. And we'll take a moment of silence and stand for the proclamation of light. And the outline of this service is found at the end of your hymnal, but everything is right here in the bulletin. So by the magical of time transportation, join us Thursday evening at 6:30 in about 30 seconds. Please stand for the proclamation of the light. Light and peace in Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Our hymn is number 496, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Thursday evening is our first prayer, is a sung prayer in the form of a hymn. Our second form of prayer is an evening prayer of thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. We praise and thank you, O God, for you are without beginning and without end. Through Christ you created the whole world. Through Christ you preserve it. You made the day for the works of light, and the night for the refreshment of our minds and bodies. Keep us now in Christ. Grant us a peaceful evening, a night free from sin, and bring us at last to eternal life. Through Christ and in the Holy Spirit, we offer you all glory, honor, and worship, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. The third thing we do in the prayer meeting is, since we meet weekly, we expect God to have been working in the week before we pray. And we ask people to give testimonies of answered prayer. Where has God crossed your path? Where have you seen God at work? Where has God protected you from temptation? Now, I have a really hot testimony to give, but I'm going to wait. Is there anyone else who'd like me to bring you the microphone, have you to give your name and hold it close, and to give a brief testimony about where you've seen Christ at work? If your heart is beating, if your mouth is dry, it's probably you that's supposed to give the testimony. And I don't want to leave the choir out. Does anyone have a testimony to give? We always have testimonies on Thursday evenings. It's fun to come to the prayer meeting to hear the testimonies. Any brave souls? Okay. Since I started preaching on the Gospel of Luke, I have raised my level of preparation in terms of footnoting, accuracy, and writing an analysis of the insights. And I had this dream that I was going to go to Africa and teach pastors the whole Gospel of Luke so they could have enough preaching and teaching material for a whole year. So I've secretly every week put in about 20 hours in research and writing to get ready to preach for you, but also to have this stuff ready to go to Africa whenever I got the call. And last Monday, I was at a pastor's meeting with Maxie Dunham, used to be editor of the Upper Room in Atlanta, and a friend of mine was there named Joe, who's an accountant in Atlanta, and he came up to me, unbidden, and said, "Phil, I'm going to Kenya in July to train General Conference delegates. Can you go with me and teach pastors?" And I said, yes. So I've begun to make a little bit of preparation to go to Kenya maybe in late July. But then I was at a church renewal conference this week in Urbana, Illinois, and I was with about 1,100 people from the Vineyard Church. And they believe that God is still speaking. So yesterday about 10:30, this band has been playing this loud praise music for an hour. We stop, and a lady who I've never met walks up from about two rows ahead and comes back to me. Now, I'm the only one in the room with a collar on. Everybody else got on jeans and real relaxed. And the lady comes up to me and said, "I have something to say to you." And I said, "Okay." She says, "While we were worshiping, I had a vision." And I said, "You had a what?" She said, "I had a vision." She said, "I saw you standing before young African pastors teaching the scriptures." Now that's kind of high voltage stuff for a Methodist. But I've been preparing this Luke and stuff. You can pick up a manuscript each week, and that's the stuff I would take with me. And I've been secretly sort of had a hunch that I was going to go, and then in a period of a week, a stranger comes up to me in Atlanta, invites me to go. And a woman in Urbana, Illinois, who I've never met, comes up and confirms it. Isn't that absolutely fascinating of God to plant the seed of an idea secretly and then maybe to alert you? And who knows? I'm planning on going. We'll see what happens and I'll keep you informed. But a testimony of that God is a God who can plant seeds, lead us in long periods of preparation, and then maybe launch us into some new venture. So I hope that you will pray for me as I begin to muddle through what it might mean to go to Kenya for 2 weeks this summer and teach African pastors. We hear these kind of testimonies every week in our prayer meeting. The next kind of prayer that we do is that we take 5 minutes of silence. And we use the Greek Orthodox prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. So I invite you to pray that prayer several times and to enter into 5 minutes of silence. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. So having gathered on Thursday nights and lit the candles and proclaimed the light, and we've prayed to God in a hymn, we've prayed to God in a common prayer, we've given God a chance to get glory through testimonies, we've used a Greek Orthodox prayer and had 5 minutes of silence. And then we hear the scriptures, which today are read by our brother Neil Aspin.
Today's first reading comes from the Epistle of James. Listen now for God's message to us all. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you is lacking in knowledge or wisdom, ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to you. But ask in faith, never doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For the doubter, being double-minded and unstable in every way, must not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Let the believer who is lowly boast in being raised up, and the rich in being brought low, because the rich will disappear like a flower in the field. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the field. Its flower falls and its beauty perishes. It is the same with the rich. In the midst of a busy life, they will wither away. Blessed is anyone who endures temptation. Such a one has stood the test and will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. No one, when tempted, should say, "I am being tempted by God." For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself tempts not. But one is tempted by one's own desire, being lured and enticed by it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
You will take your hymnal and turn to number 488. I want to give you a word of instruction. This is the prayer of the thief on the cross. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. So just before we move into the intercessions on Thursday evening, we let the thief on the cross be the one who leads us into prayer. Please stand. Bidding prayer is a prayer where the leader calls out a need, and after that there's some silence. You can pray silently for that topic, or if the Spirit so moves you, you can pray aloud for that topic. And then we say, "Lord, in your mercy," and you say, "Hear our prayer." Each week is my privilege to compose a new list of needs, some of which are carried over and some of which are new. At the end of the list, it says, "For other needs as illumined by the Spirit." So we have written prayers and we have Spirit prayers. And during that time, you may want to call out or pray privately for one of the needs that you have written down for your top two prayer concerns. So every Thursday night, is a school of prayer. Written prayers, free prayers, sung prayers, silent prayers. Every Thursday night, we have a 30-minute school of prayer. So I invite you to join me now in this list of needs. So let's go before the Lord in prayer. For Chris Williams, Glenn's brother, who's in the advanced stages of Lou Gehrig's disease. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For our Honduras medical team and their safe return this evening, full of stories and full hearts. Lord, in your mercy. Let us pray for our members, Benny Moore and Flincham and Linda Bell, who early this week were at Self Regional Hospital. Lord, in your mercy. Let us pray for the healing of Bill Tarrer, whom Pastor Phil has been visiting, who has pancreatic cancer. Lord, in your mercy. Let us pray for Frances Daniel in hospice care in Columbia and her daughter Jackie, who cares for her. Lord, in your mercy. Let us pray for this Sunday's services to be full of the Holy Spirit and love and prayer. Lord, in your mercy. Let us pray for the nearly 50 families who came for food and prayer Thursday at our food pantry. And Lord, we thank you for the young man that walked out of the county jail this morning and came straight to worship. Lord, in your mercy. Let us pray for our friends and family who do not know or do not follow Jesus Christ, or who once having followed him have wandered away. Lord, in your mercy. For the work of child evangelism in the elementary schools of our county and for their offices here in our Susanna Wesley building. Lord, in your mercy. For our sisters Nancy Morgan and Doris Tunstall as they recover from illness and falls at home. Lord, in your mercy. For Phil Saunders in his work with our youth and young adults. For the ski trip next weekend. Lord, in your mercy. For several seniors in our church who are leaving their homes and moving to assisted living. Lord, in your mercy. For those in our church family with mental illness and addictions, Lord, we ask for peace and freedom. Lord, in your mercy. For the upcoming Wednesday classes on the book of James and discipleship, that God will send us eager students. Lord, in your mercy. that God will grant to us the gifts of repentance and fresh spiritual hunger. Lord, in your mercy. And now for you to pray quietly over your needs, or to call them out in public if you wish, for other needs as illumined by the Holy Spirit.
Lord, we pray for our nation, our leaders.
Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we ask for safety at the upcoming Olympics, that there would be no terrorist attacks, but that you would restrain evil. Lord, in your mercy. And now to conclude our intercessions, we pray the prayer that marks us as Christ's disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ enfold you this Thursday night. Go in peace. Thanks be to God. We've all just prayed, just as we do every Thursday evening, with some variation. And I do believe that this church won't be renewed without us being on our knees. I'm also under no illusion that you can't pray as effectively at home or in small groups. But it's also important that sometime you come visit a Thursday meeting and be a part of that faithful small band of people that week by week by week cry out to God that we receive from heaven what we need, continue as a faithful church. I do remind you that on this Wednesday at 5 we have our supper. I'll be beginning to teach the book of James on Wednesday evenings at 6 and on Wednesday mornings at 10 o'clock. And I'm going to invite you now to take the registration pads and pass them. I'm going to ask Mary Alexander to come forward and call the children forward for the children's message.
Good morning, everybody. How are you? You're good today? Good. It's nice to see everybody here. Let me ask you something. Have you ever seen a sport maybe that you wanted to learn how to play, or a game? You have?
I played soccer.
Did somebody have to teach you how? Yeah. Oh, well, that's good. I'm glad he knew how to play soccer. Well, you know, sometimes we all want to do some things, but we don't know how, and so we have to get people to teach us. And that's kind of like the story I'm getting ready to tell you. You know who Jesus' disciples were? And they were with him all the time, and they watched him do things, and there was one thing in particular that he did that they wanted to learn how to do. Do you know what that was? Do you think it was fishing? No. Do you think it was healing people? No. It was prayer. They wanted to learn how to pray. And do you know what prayer he taught them? What was it? The Lord's Prayer. And we just said it, but let's say it one more time. How about it this morning? Let's ask everybody to say it with us. Is that okay, you think? All right. Sam, you want to start us off? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. see you all know how to pray. I'm so proud of you. Thank you for being here this morning.
I told someone that I preached from Jeremiah 6 every week, and they said, "Is that your text?" I said, "No, that's where I have to turn the Bible to get two equal halves so my manuscript won't fall off." Look at your scripture sheet, Luke 11, 1 to 13. I just can't tell you how much fun I had this week working on the structure of this passage. There are four terms in the Lord's Prayer that are repeated at the poem at the end. And in the center is a parable that is a question and an answer. So this is a remarkably complex, composed passage. And it was meant to be read as a whole. And it would have been used by Luke as sort of a catechism on teaching Gentiles how to pray. Jews already knew how to pray. Therefore, the Lord's Prayer in Matthew was longer. But when you're receiving Gentiles out of paganism, worshiping the many gods, and they get used to the one God, how do you teach Gentiles to pray? So you're hearing an early Christian instruction from the first century aimed at people who used to be pagan polytheists. This is prayer 101. Now it happened that Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." And Jesus said to them, "Whenever you pray, say this, 'Father, holy be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.'" And Jesus said to them, "Can you imagine having a friend and going to him at midnight and saying to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Don't bother me, the door is now closed, my children are in bed with me, I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not give him anything after having arisen because of being a friend, but because of his avoidance of shame, he will get up and give him whatever he wants. And I tell you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. And will any one of you, if the Son asks the Father for bread, will he give him a stone? Or a fish instead of a fish, will he give him an eel? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you therefore, being evil, you know good gifts to give to your children, how much more the Father out of heaven, the Holy Spirit, shall give to those asking him." This is the word of the Lord. Early one morning, as the mist was rising off the Ganges River, a young man was watching a holy man complete his prayers. When he completed them, the boy came near and asked, "Sir, will you teach me to pray?" The guru stared into the boy's face without a word, and then, swift as a cobra, reached up and grabbed both his ears and plunged his head beneath the Ganges, where he held him in an iron grip. Just as the boy was about to go limp, the holy man pulled him out by his ears, and the boy sputtered, "Why did you do that?" "That was your first lesson in prayer." "What do you mean?" said the bewildered boy. "Well," said the teacher, "when you long to pray, as much as you long to breathe when your head was underwater, then and only then will I be able to teach you to pray." We ought to pray. We must pray. We should pray. But we don't pray much. I don't know that prayer as an ought or a must or a should has much motivating power. I do think that when prayer arises from curiosity, from desire, from yearning, and from desperation, it has a chance to become some of the quality of prayer that Jesus recommended. You see, folks, you and I live in a self-absorbed, self-sufficient culture for which prayer is painful. Bill Hybels writes for all of us in America. He says, "Prayer is an unnatural activity. From birth, we've been learning the rules of self-reliance as we strain and struggle to achieve self-sufficiency. Prayer flies in the face of deep-seated American values. It is an assault on human autonomy. It is an indictment of independent living. To people in the fast lane, prayer is an embarrassing interruption." Many of you remember the famous Christian witness from World War II, Corrie ten Boom, and the movie that Billy Graham made about her called The Hiding Place. And often Corrie would get before a large crowd and she would say, "Is prayer your spare tire or is it your steering wheel? Is it something you only pull out in emergencies or is it the way you drive your life? Is it only for crises or is it the norm?" Now folks, I got hundreds of books on prayer. I tell you, prayer is the hardest work I do. I write prayers for us every Sunday, Trinitarian, based on the Scriptures, hopefully well written. But those are easy. That's professional praying. But to get on my knees before God and risk being in His light and call Him my Father and expose my sin and shame and the things that haunt me all of my life, and to believe that when I get up off my knees there is bread and forgiveness and protection, that is hard work. Because I've had to humble myself and get on my knees and give up self-sufficiency and recognize that I need the us and our and we of my Christian brothers. And there's no way to hide from God. Prayer is hard work. It is exposure to the light and life of God. So the Lord's Prayer is the enemy of self-sufficiency. It's an invitation to humility and to childlikeness and to admitting that we don't know how to pray. The Lord's Prayer is also a diagnosis of our human condition in this world, and it is not a very pleasant one. Many people do not believe in God. They do not pray. Many people believe in many gods around the world and pray to all these different gods. But the Bible says that we should call God Father. We live in a world where God's name is blasphemed and counted as unholy. We live in a world where God's kingdom is not yet and all kinds of other voices are running the show. We live in a world where some people have too much bread and are obese, a national health problem, and where some have too little and are starving. We live in a world where people are sinning against each other and living in bitterness and unforgiveness all their lives. We live in a world where we are needy and we must be protected by God. So the world view that backs up the Lord's Prayer is a view that's not happy or positive. And it is only in that world that this prayer makes... Now, folks, Jesus was a Jewish mystic. He was a Jewish, charismatic mystic. And every morning His disciples found Him in the same place. Now, can you imagine spending a day with Jesus and seeing hundreds of people healed? Of people delivered from evil, the Pharisees rebuked? Can you imagine listening to the sermon? Can you imagine just being within 10 feet of it? And feeling the aura of love and understanding. To see Him play with a child. To take the old wrinkled face of some Palestinian woman in His hands and look at her with perfect love. And the disciples finally figured out that what He did in public came out of private. And then what He did during the daytime came out of Him getting up at 4 or 5 or 6 in the morning and sneaking out of the base camp and going out and getting on His face before His Father. They finally put it together that what He was getting in prayer, He was pouring out all day long. Can you imagine the sinless Son of God facing all these needy people and these crummy disciples? I mean, they wore Him. In His humanity, He was drained every day, just like you are. And every morning, they found Him sneaking out of the camp and praying. And one day they said, if we want to get in on what He's doing in public, maybe we need to learn what He's doing in private. Now, these were all Jews. They prayed in the synagogues. They knew the 18 benedictions. They'd sung hymns and psalms on the way to Jerusalem. These men knew how to pray, but there's something about Jesus' prayer that filled Him up to do stuff during the day that other people couldn't do. So they all got up one morning, they went out, and they found Him at prayer, and they just closed their arms, and they waited for Him to get through. And when He got through, He stood up, and there were the 12, and who knows how many others. And they said, Lord, we've had a meeting while You were praying, and we've come up with a question because we're curious. Lord, teach us to pray as John the Baptist taught his disciples. Now, everybody in the ancient world had a rabbi and a follower, and your rabbi would come up with a certain style of prayer. And so John the Baptist had their John the Baptist prayer, and they wanted a Jesus prayer. There's a saying from the East that says that when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. It's like sex ed with kids. You don't sit down and give them all at one time. You wait for them to come to you with a question. And when they come to you with a question, you give them a very simple answer, and later they'll come with another question, and it goes along developmentally appropriate. Now, Jesus was waiting for them to get it. And they finally got it and said, there's a connection here between what you do in private, what happens in public, and will you give us a prayer that will draw us into your relationship with the Father? And it's the Lord's Prayer in the sense that He gave it. It's not the Lord's Prayer in the sense that He prayed it, because He didn't need forgiveness, and He was never bitter with anybody. So it's the disciples' prayer. And He says, start out with a personal address, Father. That doesn't mean that God is male. God is not a male. God does not have a body. God is a spirit. But the best metaphor from human life for God is Father. And this is a Father who also includes all that is best about mother. Now, when Jesus was a child, He would have said to Joseph, Abba, Father, Abba, 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 Abba. And to Mary, He would have said, Emma, 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 Emma. The disciples weren't used to calling God what they call their earthly fathers, because in synagogue you prayed to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jesus said, approach God with the same trust as a little child going to a loving, trusting father. God is supremely personal. And yes, He already knows what He needs. Just like you as a parent knew what your children needed. But you delighted when your children brought you a need and talked with you and believed in you and trusted in you. And that is where prayer starts. And what if your father was an alcoholic or abused you or beat you or abandoned you? Then it may take some healing for you to learn to trust that God was not like your earthly parent. Father, Abba. And as soon as we address God, we see that God's name is misused on the earth and that God's kingdom is not here. When we say Father, we stand with the Father and look down on the broken earth. And then we ask God to do what only God can do, which is that He would sanctify His name in the earth, that His kingdom would come and remove all sin and evil and death. The prayer for the kingdom to come is not that things get a little better by tomorrow at noon. It is that God stop this world and bring the end of time and stop human suffering. Father, do what only You can do. Come down and fix the earth. Sanctify Your name. But until that happens, there's some things that we need to survive as followers of Jesus. We got to have some daily bread. You know, I've gotten that whenever this may sound stupid to y'all, but just I do some stupid stuff, so just live with it. I don't ever want to put anything in my mouth without thanking God. And I'm glad you pray at home, but I want to see you praying in the restaurants. I don't care who's looking. I want you to bow your head and heart and thank God for daily bread. Now, when I ride by a field, last summer I was riding between here and Anderson, and you go past a grain field and there's wheat and it's waving and it's just amazing. And I stopped. And I didn't do it, but I should have gone up and knocked on that farmer's door and said, sir, God provides daily bread, but it came from flour, that came from wheat, that came from a field like yours for which you had to have tractors and seed and rain. And so I want to thank You for being part of the cycle of creation and farming that lets me have an answer to the prayer for daily bread. Second thing God says I need is I need healed relationships. I need to be quick to repent and receive forgiveness. And I need to be quick to give forgiveness. One man once came up to John Wesley and said, I'll never forgive. And Wesley said, then I hope you never sin. Do you realize what an outpouring of love could be unleashed today? If you were to forgive and tear up those IOUs and write that letter, call that person that you've hated for 25 years or the person you can forgive a debt to and just wipe it out and release the kingdom of God. Several months ago, I went down to Good Hope Cemetery between here and Saluda, where my granddaddy's buried. Now, his mama and his brother and sister died in 1 week in 1897 of a flu epidemic. He was just a little boy, and it damaged him. And I had to go forgive my granddaddy Carl, who only met twice in my whole life, because of the damage that he did and that still affects me to this day. And I'm sure I looked stupid standing out in a cemetery in the middle of the afternoon, but I'd been to Saluda. I just had to stop, and I had to go to the graveside. And I say, I know you are a broken man, and I forgive you. I forgive you, Carl, for the damage you did across the generations. Maybe my children or grandchildren will have to come to my grave one day and do the same. So Jesus says we need to be quick to forgive and quick to receive forgiveness. So I need bread and I need healed relationships. See, folks, I need to be protected. Do you know the things that would overwhelm me, that would cause me to leave the ministry, you know, in short order? Do you realize how vulnerable you are? Do you realize if God withdrew His protective grace, you would collapse under a weight of sin? Have you ever had something claw at you to the point that you felt you just couldn't resist it any longer? And if it's that way with a piece of chocolate cake, how about with stuff that really matters, where your soul is in danger? So Jesus says there are three things you need, Phil, to survive until the kingdom comes. You need daily bread, and you need healed relationships, and you need to be protected, because you live in a dangerous world where the fire is live and the casualties are many. So this is a realistic, rugged prayer. Father, bring your kingdom now. If you choose not to bring it now, I need some bread, and I got to go ask somebody for forgiveness. And will you please protect me this day while I try to follow Jesus Christ with your people? And that's the word track that we are to pray. I'm going to stop here because you can read the manuscript and read about the parable. But we are called to let that prayer shape the way we look at ourselves and our world. And we are to call down from heaven the resources of God. It's very interesting. The disciples did not ask Jesus to teach them to pray until well into the ministry, when they saw the link between what He did in private and how it filled Him full for a day of pouring out the kingdom. So for me to tell you ought to pray ain't going to help you or me. What I do when I pray is that God stir in us a desire and a hunger and a desperation to pray. So the hymn is an old gospel hymn. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. You can sing that in your pew. Or you may want to come up here and just kneel and say, Lord, create in me a desire to pray. things have not changed. One of the things that has not changed is the Trinitarian faith of the great church, which we now confess together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. The church runs on two kinds of fuel, one of which is prayer, the other of which is your giving. Our ushers are here to receive your tithes and offerings, and you may be seated. How many marriages in this church could be renewed if a man took his wife's hand and said, "Let us kneel by our bedside and pray for our lives"? How many families could be renewed by men who would begin to pray out loud in their own stumbling words for God to bless their business and their country? And so, ladies, not that you're off the hook this week, but I want to put the monkey on the men to invite their wives to kneel. Snuggle her up good under your arm. And if all you can pray is the Lord's Prayer, and if it takes you 10 minutes because of the gratitude in your heart and the tears from your eyes, let it be the week that you began to pray. And for this opportunity, let us stand and give God praise.
Thank you.
time this morning, we're going to pray the Lord's Prayer. And so that you not be bored, we have chosen a Jamaican tune. Okay? So I want to see a little moving and grooving. I want to see some shaking and jiving. Okay? Now, I know you don't do that often, except I've seen you at parties, seen you shagging, so I know you can do it. But if you want to move just a little bit during this singing of Lord's Prayer, I promise you, I asked Jesus, and he said he would not be offended. Okay? Number 271. Something of God happens every Thursday evening from 6:30 to 7 at the chapel right behind our sanctuary. And I hope to see you there soon, that you may bear with us the holy work of prayer. Hold out your hands to receive a blessing. I send you forth as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Do not violate your conscience. Bear witness to love. Speak well of Christ and of His church. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.